Okay, today we're in Joshua chapter 7. Now, today's passage has to do with sin. In a lot of settings in Christendom, it's very disturbing. You never hear that word anymore. It's more like, well, there's problems in your life, and Jesus can help you with the problems in your life. But the word sin actually appears many, many times in Scripture. Many, many times. And so this passage has to do with sin and doing things that are out of bounds, sort of beyond trespasses, beyond what God would be pleased to have us do. So we humans are drawn to the forbidden. There's something about us humans, and it's called the sinful nature. We just love to dance with our limits and sort of go beyond the limits that we've been given. So today's passage reminds us not to go there and what to do if we've strayed and we've really experienced things we really shouldn't be experiencing. The Israelites have just had a great victory, and specifically Jericho has come down. The walls have come down, and huge victory has taken place. But immediately after that, we're going to see the problem arises. And the problem arises from something that took place during the Battle of Jericho that we now discover here in chapter 7. So specifically, there is sin in the camp. There's sin actually in the camp of the Israelites. In today's passage, we're reminded to steer clear of sin and to deal with it when we've given into it, or if we've given into it, we're to deal with it appropriately and correctly. So Robert will be reading the passage today. It's a long passage. Please stand from Joshua chapter 7. And I'm going to pray and just ask God to give us good understanding. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. It is so life-giving. It's also confronting. Lord, you lay out truths that sometimes it's hard to hear, hard to talk about, and yet truths we need to hear. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. It just covers every aspect of life. And I pray that you give us wonderful understanding as your word is read. Give us understanding, Lord, as it is expounded upon. Give us understanding. We pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, pour out your grace upon us. We want to become more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Robert.
Okay, so Joshua chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, Go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. But they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shabarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, Get up! Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families, and the families which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the households which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah. Excuse me, I just turned two pages. And he took the family of the Zerites, and he brought the family of the Zerites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day.
Okay, please be seated. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. Such a lengthy passage that we figured it'd be better to have another voice actually helping to say it. Otherwise, it becomes very long as far as sermon and the reading, and it's just nice to have a change of pace. So thank you very much, Robert. Quick summary of what took place as far as what Robert read. Here from Joshua chapter 7. So an Israelite named Achan. Achan means troublesome, by the way. So an Israelite named Achan has taken accursed things. These are things that are doomed for destruction, things that are dedicated, things that are devoted, and sort of all of that as far as the definition of accursed things. Remember, the Lord had said, don't take any of the silver, the gold, anything from Jericho. You're going to give to me the most valuable possessions. You're going to destroy the rest. So it was all accursed. It was doomed for destruction, dedicated and devoted. So the Lord is now angry with the people of Israel. And next up is the city of Ai. So not too far away. Spies are sent out to check it out. It's like, not too many people, about 12,000 people there. Not too many. So only send about 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers. And turns out these guys get whipped. They totally get whipped. And is like, whoa, what a surprise. So Joshua, he just says, man, and he just seeks the Lord. And he says, what is going on? And the dust and all that. And that's like saying, I'm spiritually poor, Lord. and I just come before you. I am poor and I'm just hurting and I need you to speak and to direct and to answer. So Joshua prays, why did you even bring us here, Lord? What's the deal? We came out of Egypt and now we're going to die here in the wilderness? What's going on? And, you know, he also said, hey, our enemies are going to hear about this and that'll give them courage and they'll be beating us up. And then your name's going to be tarnished because we're your people. So how's your name going to be brought glory if we're not even in the picture? Now, God's response is interesting. He basically says, quit your belly aching. Quit your belly aching. Israel has sinned. That's why this is happening. God then directs him. He says, sanctify yourselves. And Joshua confront the people and identify where there is sin in the camp. And so tribe by tribe, as far as the different tribes of Israel, the different branches of Israel, sort of tribe by tribe, they come before and one is taken. That's specifically the tribe of Judah. So one is chosen and it's by lot or somehow there's some kind of choosing mechanism and the Lord's orchestrating it. In this case, he's orchestrating it. So tribe by tribe, Judah's chosen, then family by family, then household by household, man by man, and specifically Achan is identified. So the Lord specifically identifies Achan as the person who had taken these things. Now Joshua rises early the next day. And so this is exactly as the Lord had prescribed, tribe by tribe, family by family, household by household, and man by man, and then Achan is taken. Joshua says to Achan, bring glory to God. Confess what you have done, and do not hide it. And Achan responds, okay, I am going to confess. I saw the garments as far as wonderful garments, Babylonian garments. I saw silver. I saw gold. I saw a number of things. I took them. I coveted them. I took them, and I hid them. And the next thing we see here is Achan and all that he has, his entire family, is taken to a certain valley. And Joshua says, you have troubled our nation. The Lord's going to now trouble you. And all of Israel stones the entire family, and they burn them. And this is a tough passage. They burn them, and either the rest of the family had covered up for Achan, or there's things we do that where our entire family pays a price or our loved ones pay a price for some of the things we do when we're disobedient. So one or the other, either way, the Lord turns from his anger. This place is then called the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Troubles or Troubled. So Achan means troublesome. Achor means troubled. And that's what's taking place. So they deal with the trouble that has come upon them. So really wild passage. Four insights regarding sin, specifically four insights. One is it is enticing. It is enticing. Note the pattern of Achan's covetousness when he lays out what took place. He said basically, verse 21, I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent. So I saw, I coveted, I took, and I concealed or I hid them. Very interesting. Similar to David. Remember King David? Things had gone so well for him. But then one day he sees Bathsheba and he covets, he desires her, he asks about her, etc. And he takes her and then he conceals, he covers up. Same pattern. That's the pattern of the human condition as far as how we look at sin or how we're drawn to it. We give into it and then we try to cover it up. Us humans, it's sad. So sin is very enticing. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So sin can be pleasurable, but it's passing pleasures. It's very short-sighted. It's momentary pleasure, but it's not honoring to the Lord as far as when we do something, think something, there's some words we speak or whatever that do not please the Lord. And so the passing pleasures of sin, it's pleasurable for a time, but it's passing pleasures. It's temporary. So sin is enticing. There are reasons why people fall morally. because they're drawn to that which they desire and pay a huge price for it. Sin always has a price tag. So one, it is enticing. Two, it has consequences. Sin has consequences. All Israel is affected by what Achan has done. They send spies to Ai. Should be no problem. We just took Jericho. We should have no problem with this very small city in comparison. Should be no problem at all. Israel is beaten up. The 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers are totally routed, and it's by a small force. So not every setback in our lives is because of our disobedience. This particular setback in Israel's life is because of their disobedience. But not every setback that we discover every time or we experience, every time we have some kind of huge setback or something happens that we really do not like, it's not always because of our disobedience. Just ask Job. Job was not tested. It wasn't because of his sin that all the things came upon him. He, of course, had inherent sin, just as all of us do. At the same time, it wasn't specifically because of his sin when he was tested and lost pretty much everything, at least for a time. The Lord later recovered it all or restored everything that had been lost. And so not every setback is because of our disobedience, but some setbacks are directly related. Some are very specifically directly related. Our sin has consequences. It hurts us, and it hurts other people. Achan's sin, his life is lost. His family is lost, destroyed. All of Israel is affected. It really potentially, it makes the whole conquest, it puts it in jeopardy. If they don't take care of the accursed things that have been taken, then God said, I'm not gonna fight for you. And so they would have been destroyed right there if they had not taken care of it. So how does our sin hurt us? Someone who drinks, for example, may more likely have cirrhosis of the liver or may develop that. Someone who covets, like Achan covets in this passage, we model bad priorities as far as, I must have this, I must have this. I was looking at a catalog the other day. It was just a Costco catalog, and it was just on the table, and I was eating for lunch, and I just looked at the catalog. I was like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that'd be nice to have. Oh, that'd be nice to have too. And it's like, what am I doing? And I just had to turn it over. It's like, this is not a time to take a look at a Costco catalog. And I heard there was one town, and I don't know where this town was, but they were a very happy town until they got their first Sears catalog. And this was years ago. They got their first Sears catalog, and they realized all the stuff out there that they didn't have. And they became very unhappy because of that. That was the testimony, apparently, of one or more residents from that town. So someone who covets, we model bad priorities. We are much less likely to be content with the things we have. If we're coveting, it's like, if only I could have this or that or this or something someone else has. I want their spouse. I want their house. I want their car, whatever. That's the heart. The human heart just desires things. So someone who lies, we undermine others' trust level. Sin hurts us in every way. Whether we drink, we covet, we lie. When we lie, we undermine others' trust in us. If we're not faithful to our word, then when do they believe us? When are we speaking truth? Can they rely on it? If there are kids, they need to learn to trust their mom and their dad. And if we're not saying truthful things to them, that is not good. It's not good. So our sin hurts us in a number of ways. How does our sin hurt others? Well, a person who covets, like Achan, wants what others have, and so may try to take that which someone else has. So we're taking from someone else. We're hurting them in that way. We're also, if we're busy coveting what they have, then we're not loving them in the process. We're too busy being jealous of what they've got. And it's like we're not really celebrating what the good things God has allowed them to have. And we're consumed with what we have, what we want to have, and our situation, our lot in life in comparison. And it's interesting how we humans are. When we compare ourselves, we typically compare ourselves with people who have more than us, or they have a better situation circumstantially. We don't compare ourselves with the overwhelming majority of people in the world who do not have the food, the housing, the level of the lifestyle, the freedom to worship God. If you look at all of those things, if you're going to compare yourself, you might as well compare yourself to those less fortunate and come away very thankful. Like, Lord, thank you for giving me that which you've given me. I'm very thankful. At the same time, the best thing is not to compare at all, but just to say, Lord, my lot in life is my lot in life. And I've got certain desires, but the things I want, I'm going to learn to ask God for them. I'm going to ask you, Lord, for them, instead of taking, desiring them, wanting them so badly, and losing my contentment because I don't have them and I don't have them now. And so we learn to ask God and trust him. And if it's something that he wants us to have, he can give it to us in the right time. And if it's out of bounds or the wrong timing, then the Lord's in control of all that. He knows what's best. He is our loving, very good Father. And so how does sin hurt others? Well, we covet, we want what they have, we don't love them. A person who gambles, for example, affects the entire family, the entire estate's at risk, and there are there's an impact on others. A person who gossips hurts the reputation of others, and also it hurts themselves too, because people don't want to get close to someone who gossips. And so if there's too much personal information being shared, then it's hard for others who sort of hear the personal information that's being shared to then share themselves and their heart with someone. So let's not be those who gossip. It hurts us. It hurts other people. A leaky umbrella causes others to get wet. And that's what happens when we end up having sin in the camp or sin in our heart. It's almost like a leak in the umbrella when we're practicing or trying to give ourselves to sin, and that's our pursuit. It's almost like a leak in the umbrella, and we get wet, and others who are under the umbrella with us, they get wet in the process. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the wages of sin, the price tag of sin, is death. There's always some form of death associated with sin. And the wages, the price tag, the result, the consequences of sin is death. So let's not give ourselves to that which brings death. Let's give ourselves to that which brings life. And we're so glad that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's his option for us. So number one was sin is enticing. Number two, sin has consequences. Number three, we cannot hide it from God. We cannot hide our sin from God. God knows about Achan's sin. He knows all about it. He knew by name, and he knew exactly who it was. It wasn't like, I wonder who it was. He knew exactly, and he was helping Joshua to uncover. And so they go tribe by tribe, etc., and they uncover and expose the sin that is in the camp. So Achan hides it, and he hides it under stuff, but nothing is hidden from God. Sometimes we somehow think we can get away with things, but nothing's hidden from God. I remember as a small child, this is one of my first memories, and this is our house in Rochester, New York, and there I was, a little tyke, and I buried my face into the sofa, and my three siblings were right there, and I buried my face into the sofa, and I said, "You can't see me." And so I was convinced that they could not see me. I'm not sure if I really believed it or not, but I still remember the actual incident, and they, of course, chuckled tremendously at their little sibling. And so sometimes we think, man, if I can't see it at any time, then obviously others can't see it either. And it's like, that is so person-centered. That's so self-centered. It's like God sees everything. And he looks and he says, I see it. I see you. And he can see everything. And so the sin we do, we try to cover it up. He sees everything. And he has a way of uncovering that which we've done. Now, when it comes to specifically our covering techniques, humanity wants to cover over its own sin. We want to do what we can in the flesh to cover up our own sin. In other words, self-effort. Adam, his first desire was to have fig leaves to cover up his nakedness. Now, remember, it's interesting. He became naked, and he always was naked. But what happened is he lost the glory of God. So he was clothed by the glory of God. He lost that glory. So it's like, I got to have something to cover up. And then he wanted he wanted the fig leaves. He wanted a covering. He yearned for a covering. So humanity's interesting. We hide things. We blame shift. That's one of the ways we cover up our sin. We deny. Who, me? I've done something wrong. We deny it. That's another form of covering up our sin. They're all forms of fig leaves. They're pitiful. They just don't work. They might fool people, but ultimately God is never fooled. Never fooled. And God has a way of uncovering the kinds of things we do that we think are hidden. And no one knows those secret sins. No one knows. But God does, and he has a way of uncovering. So just as he uncovers in this passage, tribe by tribe, and continues on as far as family by family, household by household, man by man, he has a way of uncovering. He can expose the things we've done. I shared on Wednesday, for those who weren't there, I just shared on Wednesday something that took place in the Grembin family a number of years back, and I have permission from my kids to share this. There we were getting our septic system cleaned out, and this was a couple years back now, and we were getting it cleaned out, and all of a sudden, the person cleaning out the septic system said, Dave, you've got a lot of things in your septic system. I said, things? And he said, yeah, candy wrappers. I said, candy wrappers. And so I went out there. And he said, yeah, there's a Milky Way there, and there's a Mars bar, and there's a Three Musketeer bar, and there they are, candy wrappers. And so I had all the kids come on out and take a look at what I had discovered in the septic system. And so I had the kids gather around, and there we were. We looked at dozens and dozens of candy wrappers in the septic system. And I just said, see, guys, the things we do in secret, they eventually come out. And we ended up having actually a fun time talking about it, because they would never do that at the time of the confrontation, which was 2 years ago. They would never have done that again, but that was from years back, like 5 years ago. And so we talked about it later, and it turns out they said, Dad, you concentrate so deeply when you read or whatever. And so if I'm on the couch or whatever, and I'm just looking at something, they said, we used to walk by, because all the candy was in one side of the house, and the little supply, little stash, they knew where it was. So they grab up the stash, and they walk right by me. They said, man, we walked by you time and time again, and we would get the candy, and we'd eat it in the bathroom, and then flush down the evidence. But it's just like us and God. I mean, God sees everything we do. We can try to flush our sin down the toilet. He sees everything. We can't hide it. We cannot hide it. It will come back again when the septic system is cleaned out. It will arise. And so there's just a way that takes place. And by the way, my kids are extremely honest. And they've learned, just like everyone else, they've learned, and they would never do that again. And that's why we actually chuckled heartily over it when we saw this all take place. So candy wrappers found in the septic tank. So any sin, do the right thing with it. Don't flush it down the toilet. Don't hide it. Don't think you're getting away with something, because God sees everything. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So if we cover over our own sins, try to use the fig leaf technique, we don't prosper. We need to confess. We need to forsake. And we'll find mercy then from God. So we cannot hide it from God, as far as number three, insight number three regarding sin. Insight number four, it needs to be dealt with. Sin needs to be dealt with. Joshua confronts the people. He's directed by God to do that. Sanctify yourselves, present yourselves. And they identify the source of the sin in the camp. And they make him confess, and he gets stoned, and he gets burned, he and his family. And in some ways, that's how we need to be. You might say, Dave, are you going to stone your family? Or, should we get stoned because we did something wrong at home or whatever? Well, that's how we need to be, as far as we need to seek God as Joshua sought God. We need to confront the flesh. The flesh is capable of all sorts of bad stuff. Even a genuine believer can do some very bad stuff. Confront the flesh. Confess. Reckon the flesh dead and take no mercy on it. Each one of us have the ability, the potential to do some very bad things, especially in moments of weakness or when we're off guard or possibly after even a wonderful victory, a Jericho experience in our life. Be careful. Watch your backside, because at that point the enemy can come in and say, you did so well, but now, hey, why don't you do this? And you let your guard down. It's just very easy to let our guards down after a success. But no matter what we're doing, no matter what our situation, whether a mountaintop experience or whether day-to-day the grind, let's just keep our guard up all the time. We're in a spiritual battle. Sin is serious business, and it has to be dealt with seriously. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So the same kind of wrath that came upon Achan, and when he was stoned, he and his family, and then burned, and the wrath of God subsided upon them. In fact, take a look at that last verse again. They raised over him, verse 26, a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So the Valley of Trouble or Troubles. So sin is serious business. Jesus took our wrath upon, or God's wrath upon himself. That same kind of wrath that caused Achan and his family to be killed and burned. That same kind of wrath, God is still the same God today, but he poured out his wrath upon his son, the Lord Jesus. He paid for all of our sins. And so when we think about this, it's like, whoa, what Jesus did for me is amazing. He took the Achan penalty in my place. He paid for it in my place. While we were still sinners, it wasn't that we had cleaned up our life and our life had gotten better. We were more moral. Let's try Jesus on and have an even better life. That's not it. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us because we deserve what Achan went through. We deserve that. And our flesh is still there. Our flesh is still capable of really bad stuff. And let's our spirit, our new man, we have to just reckon it dead. Destroy. Kill our own flesh. That doesn't mean we kill ourselves, but we kill our own flesh as far as that part of us that still shakes its fist against God and wants what it wants in the time it wants it. We need to say, Lord, I reckon that dead. I'm living for you now. I am redeemed. I've been regenerated. I am living completely for you. And when I give in to the flesh in any way, I need to confess that and repent or turn from it. That's my part in this whole process, and receive God's wonderful mercy. When we do sin or fall into sin in some way, that does not mean we become unsaved, because that somehow then is a new penalty. Jesus died for all of our sins, past sins, present sins, and future sins. For a genuine believer, all of our sins are covered. But when we do give into the flesh in some way, we need to confess that and restore fellowship with God, fellowship with anyone we've hurt, anyone we've sinned against. And so when we confess, we're actually restoring fellowship. But Jesus died for our sins. We've been justified, just as if I never ever did it or never did it, justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So the wrath of God, he's still the same God, but he poured out his wrath upon his son Jesus on the cross. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every day when we give into the flesh, or if we give into the flesh in any way, we don't have to sin, but in those times when we do, in those times we disobey the Lord, in those times when we're insensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, in the times when we're strongly self-willed and self-consumed with our own happiness, our own situation, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And again, this application especially is to believers, if we confess and continue to confess, where every day we confess our sins before the Lord and receive wonderful forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us. So that which is blocking close fellowship with the Lord is removed. Turns out if someone messes up in some way and then gets hit by that proverbial Mack truck right at that time, didn't have a chance to actually have a prayer meeting or confess sins, that doesn't mean they're lost. That means that there's a sin that's going to get burned up just when we come before the Lord. Everything we do under the flesh gets burned up. The judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, everything we've done under the flesh, and everything we've done as far as sins, even as a regenerated believer, all of that gets burned up. So the same kind of aching judgment is upon all the things that we've done. We don't get rewarded for those things. We get those things are just burned up and lost. But we still, a believer, a genuine believer, will get rewarded for his or her deeds done unto the Lord, that which we've done that has given the Lord glory. All that is in our life, where the people we've led to Christ, the people we've prayed for, the people we've helped them to grow in their relationship with the Lord, the things we've done when we've obeyed the promptings of the Holy Spirit and gone out on a limb and done that which He wants us to do, the ministries we've taken on, the obedience we've demonstrated, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that's been developed in our lives, those are lasting. And the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are good things. And so all the bad stuff that we give ourselves, we confess it before the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So application. We see 4 points here, 4 insights. Sin is enticing. So for each one of us, let's be on our guard. Let's be on our guard regarding things that may appeal to us. What appeals to one person may not appeal to someone else, but what doesn't appeal to someone else may be really a weakness for us. So, for example, if someone's drunk a lot in the past, if they've been drinking a lot or that was part of their lifestyle, then best to stay away from bars. Best way is stay away from potentially even an after-dinner glass of wine or whatever. If someone's an alcoholic, they need to stay away from that stuff. Or if somehow it's a stumbling block to one's family, just stay away from it altogether. We're definitely not to get drunk on wine, but some of us need to stay away from it altogether. But sin can be enticing. So what is not a weakness for someone else may be a weakness for us, and vice versa. There's some things we shouldn't do because someone else around us may find it very tempting themselves. So it's enticing. Be on your guard. Be content. Cultivate contentment with the Lord. So I thank you for all the things you've given me, Lord. I haven't thanked you enough. I've been very ungrateful. I'm complaining. I've been ungrateful about my lot in life. And Lord, I thank you for it. And just find things to thank the Lord for. Find things to thank the Lord for. So sin's enticing, be on your guard. Also, sin has consequences. Or secondly, sin has consequences. So let's think long term. Let's not do that which is a passing pleasure for the season. Let's think long term. And I've said this before. There's never anyone I've ever met as far as a Christian woman who was married. I've never yet met one yet who said, man, I should have messed around more when I was a student. I should have messed around more as a college student, spring breaks. I should have messed around more as far as a high school student. Never have I heard that. When we live for the Lord, may He give us a long-term perspective. It's like, Lord, I'm saving myself for my spouse. My body belongs to you and to my future spouse. Give me a long-term perspective. I don't want to hurt myself, my own body, or my spouse's body. In other words, specifically, I belong to him or her as far as the person God has for me. And so let's think long term and let's do the loving thing. Let's do the loving thing as far as let's stay away from things that are going to be hurting us and hurting others. Let's love them enough to say no to temptation. Also, sin can't be hidden. That was insight number 3. Let's put no energy into the cover-up process. As far as David trying to cover up for his sin, Achan trying to cover his sin, let's put zero energy into the cover-up process. Let's be those who have quick accounts. It's like, Lord, I messed up. I just had a thought that I know does not please you. I confess it before you, even though you know what it was, but I confess it before you. I turn from it, and I just receive afresh your wonderful forgiveness and that wonderful fellowship with you. And so let's keep very short accounts, and let's not put any energy into trying to get away with things, and let's make sure that no one else sees or whatever when we're even thinking that kind of stuff. Then we're falling into Achan kinds of behavior and David kinds of behavior. David at his worst, not at his best. And so let's not hide our sin in any way, putting no energy into the cover-up process, having the courage to say, Lord, I have messed up. I take full responsibility for my sin, and I am not going to try to blame shift. I'm not going to try to deny. I am specifically taking ownership for my part, ownership for my sin, because it can't be hidden anyway. And then sin needs to be dealt with. That was lastly. Let's be those who confess our sins. If someone hasn't come to Christ and you're hearing this message, whether on the internet or with us today, if you haven't come to Christ, you need to. Our sins are only paid for. We only receive payment for it when we've given our heart to Jesus and received and accepted and received Christ into our life, and he's become our Lord, he's become our Savior. Lord means supreme controller, owner, controller, benevolent dictator, and Savior. He saved us from our sins. So when he's our Lord and he's our Savior, guess what? We belong to the Lord. We become his sons or his daughters. All our sins are forgiven. And then it starts this incredible adventure of every day just confessing that which we know we did wrong, and just say, Lord, cleanse me, make me more like your son, the Lord Jesus. And we get up again every day. So sin needs to be dealt with. Let's confess it. Let's repent of it. Turn from it. Get help if needed. If there's an area of weakness in our lives, maybe we need accountability. Maybe we need someone else to say, hey, could you call me up? Everyone's going to ask me how I'm doing in that area. Or I want to report into you on a regular basis. And nothing legalistic, but something that's life-giving is good, healthy accountability. When there's an accountability relationship that is a loving relationship, they want the best for you. And so sometimes it's more than just internal confession, internal repentance. Sometimes we need the help, the prayers, the support, even the confrontation of others in our lives. So it needs to be dealt with. And sin itself, it's not a good thing. And it will always be destroyed in the end. So Achan's sin is destroyed and taken out of the camp. And David's sin was uncovered and destroyed as far as there was forgiveness that was granted. Consequences, but there was forgiveness that was granted. And each one of us, when someone comes to Christ, our sin is destroyed. It's basically forgiven, nailed to the cross. And then every day, the things of the flesh, turns out we confess it and repent of it and receive wonderful, fresh forgiveness. And then it's not held over us in any way. It doesn't slow us down. It doesn't hinder fellowship with the Lord in any way. Sin has to be dealt with. It's serious business. So let's be those who really search our hearts and say, Lord, I don't want anything in me that fails to bring you glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I do pray, Father, we pray that you'd search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that is running ahead of you or transgressing in any way, putting our foot over the line, things that we know we shouldn't be doing or shouldn't be thinking or shouldn't be saying, I pray that you would purify us, convict us of our sin. And Lord, we want to be humble. We want to respond humbly and take ownership for that which we have done or continue to do. And I pray that you'd give us grace to receive forgiveness afresh, and have a pattern each day of confessing our sin, taking ownership for it, and receiving wonderful, fresh forgiveness, having fellowship with you restored. We thank you for this time in your word. Make us more and more like your son, the Lord Jesus, and prepare us in some ways as a bride, and a beautiful bride, and prepare us, make us more beautiful. I thank you, Lord, for each person here. Bless them. And I pray that each one of us would just continue to become more like your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.